Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Miss J. Today we have a really good guest for you guys. I mean, this guy here is doing so much positive work. His organization is doing so much great work in the communities, and not only his community, but throughout the United States. And I would like to ask Ms. J if she would take the pleasure on bringing our guest on today.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it. And I'd like to welcome Gerald Emerson Rose, a friend. And, you know, he's just such a passionate person about human rights and our rights. And I was so excited to have him on the first time, and now he's back on the second time. And I'm really excited about that. He's got some great information he'd like to share with us and just bring us up to date. The Order of the National Right Organization is doing a lot of great work around the country. So I'm going to let Gerald talk a little bit. Gerald, why don't you tell him a little bit about you and what you got coming, what you got going on, and what's coming up, and we'll just dive on in from there.
Yeah, my name is Gerald Rose, president of New Order National Human Rights Organization. First of all, thank you, John and Jackie, for inviting me for the second time for being on your show. I'm originally from Ohio. Again, my dad's name was Reverend Floyd Rose. It was not easy growing up in Ohio. I had a lot of several death threats. House and church was put on fire because of what my dad stood for in the early 80s and the late 70s. But when 1992, two of my best friends got killed execution style, I decided to get involved. And ever since then, I've been off and running. People have came and gone, but my dad always told me that the real survivor will stay with you. So I can say right now I have built a national human rights organization with chapters in several cities, but it ain't all about me. You know, it's not I, it's we. I'm very humble. I know I'm doing this because God can easily take it away, but I'm very humble. I put everything in his hands, and it's all about doing this for the people first. So I'm just excited. We got a lot of things coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be in Rockdale County to be one of the guest speakers at the first annual MLK celebration. About 4 or 5 years ago, we just marched in Rockdale County because of the KKK made appearance. So this is a very racist county. Even since I've been involved in going to speak at this event tomorrow, I have been receiving several hatred mail to my PO box and said, why are you coming? I said, why not? You know, so this work is not easy, but like I said, I have a very dedicated staff. It's all about doing the work. We just want to help all God's children.
Awesome. You know, and that's a great, and tomorrow being, the day that we, the nation, celebrates Martin Luther King, I mean, that's really a power. A lot of people don't really know about that county. And I know you mentioned that it was a racist county, but break down that county's history so people understand the significance of the presence, of our presence being there,
Right. I'm not from there, but, living down here in Georgia and listening to the things that I see in that county, it's very, very interesting, But when I was receiving these letters from Conyers, matter of fact, after I spoke out on the Michael Vick case, I started receiving letters from that county, as far as why did I speak up on it. So that tells me the mentality that was going on. But I'm looking forward to it, not just Rockdale County, the South, period. Alabama, Georgia, you know, Tennessee, or not just the South, the Midwest, all over the place, that there's a lot of racism that's going on, especially now, since we're going to have a new president coming in on January 20th. So I'm asking everyone to please, you know, be aware of your surroundings. At the same time, we got to unite as people first, you know, because we can fight this, but we don't work together as a people. And one thing about New Order, our hand is always out. But if you're not serious about working together, we can't work with you, because me personally, I know the seriousness, but I do understand that we have an economic problem in our community and things like that. So we got to start supporting our own. And I think if we go back to the old school mentality on how it used to be, when we couldn't go to the same restaurant, we couldn't drink out the same water fountain, think that way and unite together, we can accomplish things. But right now, everybody's doing the same thing, but we're not working together.
Yeah. You know, I was watching David Banner or something. I think I even posted it. He said, it's okay that we cohabitate. But however, we still need to have our own. You know, when you look at other races, and I know people say she always says this, but we really need to pay attention. When you look at Hispanics and Asians or Korean, they support. They go to only to they go to their stores. They go to our stores as last resort. They support each other. They have I've known the way they have put all them. Once they get a business, they put their money in the pocket. The next person that of their culture that wants to become an entrepreneur, they allow them to use those funds. I know this for a fact. Right. I know I've seen it done. We don't do things like that. We're so afraid to share, or we're so afraid that we're going to rip each other off. We our mentality towards each other, as you stated, is our biggest problem that really needs to change. Because even though we got January 20th coming, a lot of these other cultures, they're not really, they don't, it, is, it don't have it as effect, but not like on us, because they're already joined by the hip. So they're not going to let each other drown. They're going to keep each other up. You know, and we are quick to go, man, I got mine, you better get yours. And we have to change that mentality.
That is very true. I just don't understand why we can't unite and work with each other. We know that the enemy is already after us, and we seem like we're fighting each other as a people, and it doesn't make any sense. You know, so about a reality, if we don't get ourselves together as a people first and start uniting, I mean, what can you expect in the future? You know, because, again, I'm not doing it for fame. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the next generation. You know, when Dr. King was doing the movement in the 50s and the 60s, he had young people involved. I talked to a 90-year-old young lady at Quick Trip the other day. I reached my hand out to her and said, you know what, we need you. You are the future. You know, because we're getting old. You know, so
we're getting in a little age right now, and we got to pass on the torch to our young people, but we got to teach them right. Well, I found out, you know, and what I see is that, you know, the black communities, our communities can be good. Number one, like you say, you know, we need to start working together. But these other nationalities, like your Hispanic communities, your Asian communities, your Japanese, and you know, these people like that, they have money going in their communities. What I found out is that the black communities, we don't have money. We got to go, you know, and apply for money through other large organizations to get to the communities. We have a lot of organizations in the communities that mean well, but they can't get money to make a difference. I think that's just me personally. I think that we should get a legal team and start challenging the government, so that way when they do pass out the money every fiscal year, well, part of that money will be directed is strictly for the black communities, just like the Asian communities. They got money to help their communities. That's why they have real good communities. Crime rate is little.
But it's different. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say we don't have money. We do have money, but we just not using it the right way. Because
that's
we have
correct.
All these corner stores in our community that we go spend at. Why don't we take that money somewhere else, you know, and put our money together and build our own little corner store. So we have money to do that, but we're not thinking right. We're sitting here making other people rich off of us, talking to us any kind of way and this and that. So we have money. It's the fact we're not directing it in our own community. And, you know, like here in Atlanta, we have a black-owned bank. Can you imagine if every black person here in the metro Atlanta area took their money out their regular bank and went to this black-owned bank and opened an account? You know what I mean? So we have money, but we're not using it right.
We're not utilizing it. Absolutely.
Right.
And I like it, you know, and I agree. And, you know, and you got to understand, too, we are quick to say that, you know, someone else has an advantage. However, we have advantages, too, that we have neglected.
Right.
You know, we got to take some responsibility for that. You know, we chose to close our businesses so we could go open businesses in other neighborhoods because our neighborhood was no longer good enough. See, that goes back to how we view ourselves. That goes back to our consciousness as people.
Right.
You know, instead of us, you know, so we have to adjust a lot of our ways.
Right. I'm going to tell you what our national research team is doing. They're building a black-owned business database. So when we go to other cities and stuff, we go support our own. We go to our own black-owned restaurants, our own black-owned business. So when I go spend my money and speak, I'm practicing what I preach. So if I come to your town or city or whatever, I'm going to spend with our community. So if everyone did that, I'm telling you, it would be a change. It's really simple. It's the word called sacrifice. We don't sacrifice these days. No, it can be done. We cannot be lazy and just do this. We got to do it the right way. So, John and Jackie, we can do this, but for some reason, we don't want to sacrifice.
And I agree.
Right.
It is a sacrifice.
But I want to, and you know, I agree with both of you all. You know, it's so many things that we can do in order for us to get better as a people. But
right.
I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's necessary for the government to get involved of us, you know, rebuilding our communities?
That could be yes and no. When I say no, like we're 501c3, I would like to get private funding as far as federal because, again, one thing about me, people want to attack the people that feed you. You know what I mean? If you get what I'm saying. So I really kind of...
And like me, I think that, you know, like the government, we should reach out to the government for more money for the communities, for our infrastructure.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For better schools,
right.
For things like that, because we always say let's pool our money. You know, but let's face it, let's be real at it. Most people, especially African-Americans, you know, living in the hood, let's say living in the hood, and the majority of us is living in the hood, is making anywhere between $30,000 and less a year. Okay. And that's not a lot of money, especially these days, especially with the high cost of rent, food, gas, and things of that nature, clothes. That's really not a lot of money because out of that, we still got to pay taxes and insurance and making sure our kids go to school. So that's not a lot of money. So I think that's just me. I think that the government should come in. We should, because if you really look at it, Martin Luther King, great man, you know, you look at the quota system and affirmative action. He fought, but he went to the government. And he went there, and they the one that approved those programs. You take Oprah Winfrey, for example, at her age bracket, she's a product of affirmative action. That's the way I see it.
Right.
Now, I could be seeing it wrong, but she's a product of affirmative action. I mean, and there's so many millionaires, black millionaires, they're products of affirmative action. So, and affirmative action and the quota system was working. I can remember. I'm an older gentleman. I probably older than both of you guys. I remember the times, you know, water fountains, you know, black only, white only water fountains in Louisiana. I remember those days, sitting on the back of the bus. I remember those days. I went to school. We couldn't go to white schools and things. And that wasn't too long ago. That wasn't too long ago.
Right.
But it's a lot of things that, you know, we need to start having dialogues about, you know, and you know, about the black communities, really. You know,
you mentioned, go ahead.
Okay, real quick, Joe, I want to get this out. You know, I'll piggyback on when we talk about money and what people make. And I want to just say this because it is a fact that black people spend billions of dollars a year. And that includes those poor people making $30,000 a year on wasted stuff. And I'm talking, you know, it's, well, some of it's wasted, some of it's necessary, but on things that they could probably use their money differently. I think our problem is also not learning how to manage money. You know, I did finance classes before, and I know a lot of people, when they can make money, but they can't manage it. And people who make less money have normally handle their money better than those who make big money because they understand the importance of the money coming in. And the more you make, the more you spend.
That's true. And you mentioned,
you know, so I think we need to learn how to do that, you know, handle our funds better. Okay, go ahead, Gerald. I apologize.
No, you're fine. It's fine. You mentioned about Martin King was a great man, but he was a great man. And my understanding here in 2017, I might be wrong saying this, but I think his dream then turned into a nightmare. Not disrespecting Dr. King, I'm talking about our people of what we're doing for what he fought so long that died for us. You know, so I wrote something up that, you know, Monday we all go, like tomorrow, whatever, we all go out there and celebrate what he did. Are we really doing his work, what he called us to do before his life was taken? Come on now, really think about this.
That's right. You're right. That's real talk.
It turned into a nightmare, you know, and he, you know, the former leaders back then, I mean, they did enough with jail, this and that. Now we're killing each other. We can't get along. Look at the crime going on in Chicago, Illinois. You know, there's so much going on. But then tomorrow, we all going to be celebrating. You, I have a dream in this. We're not living this man's dream right now. I'm just being realistic.
That's right.
That's
right.
Very,
you know, and it's sad. It's really sad, too, because I think it was a big, you know, I think, you know, I know we talk about segregation. Everybody act like, you know, we wanted what they had. And, you know, we wanted the rights. I think to a certain point, we were better off when we were by ourselves. And I know people say that's, you know, I want everybody to be happy. Don't get me wrong, but we lost. It was such a big disconnect when we started getting more. We became more materialistic. We became wanting to be more white. Sorry, that's the honest to God truth. We wanted to be more and more, and we disconnected from each other because we were running from our race, because the further we got from our race, the better life we thought we would have.
Right.
And so therefore,
right,
we didn't pass down a lot of history to our kids, and generations have been lost in history. They don't know stuff. You know, and so
that's right.
Our people, they were running from being black. Now it's cool to be black.
Right.
You know, it's just really interesting how our people are. You know, we let people tell us who we are instead of us telling people who we are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing how sad that it's like that we're going backwards as a people. And then you have the relationship between mother and daughter, father and son. You know, they talk to their parents like they're their sisters and call them by their first name. There's no way I can call my parents by their first name as of right now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very disrespectful, especially the stuff that's going on in the schools, you know, and then you have the special need kids are being abused in the schools. So there's a lot of work to do. We can't save the world, but when it's time for myself to leave this earth, at least they can say I try to help someone.
Joe,
We have a lot of people on the line right now. And what I would like for you to do is, since you're the founder and the president of the new Order National Rights Organization, could you please explain to the audience what your organization actually do?
All right, we deal with racial profiling. We have a Department of Education. We deal with the school special need kids. We do mentoring. Of course, we do a lot of outreach. Of course, we are 501c3. We have a legal team that can practice law across this country. You know, so we're the voice for the voiceless. You know, and before we get involved in any kind of legal case or whatever, you know, we have exclusive research because we just don't jump on anything because we're in this business for solutions. When I say solutions, we're not an organization just want to be seen and just be out. When people call us, we want to get the job done. So that's why we pick our battles. We just don't get involved in anything, you know. So that's why some people might hate us, some people might like, but we don't jump off emotions. You got to jump off research and facts before we get involved in kind of a case. So we're doing a lot of stuff, you know. And me and myself, I just want to thank my organization, the staff that I have. You know, I am in a documentary as we speak called They Can't Talk, But We Can, that you can see that it's online, you know. And like I said, when you start building a lot of haters, jealousy, and envy, that means you're doing something. And believe it or not, it's coming my way. It's just the fact I get on my knees and I pray every morning to ask God to continue to cover me because I know how serious it is, especially when you start affecting people in the pocket as far as money. And that's why King became a threat, you know. So that's the way I want to lead that way, you know, because it's very important because it's not I as we, and we as a people, especially black people, we're some very smart people, but we're not using our brain right. And you mentioned the fact, John, earlier that we really don't have money. We have money, but we're not using it directly in our community, and we can do that, you know.
Yes,
so
we can.
That's what it's about. I could give out a phone number. Our phone number is 1-800-346-5138. That's 1-800-346-5138, or you can visit our website at www.nonhro.org.
And I'll post that information at the end of the show like I always do, so they can contact you. But, you know, the organization does a lot of things, too. I think what we were talking earlier, me, you, and John, was like, we need a whole bunch more, you know, organizations like this. Not just one organization can't fix everything. You know, one person with an idea to change, it's just that. But the more we have in doing it, the bigger impact we're going to have. And we got to learn to work together. I mean, really, really work together. Not be always so scared somebody's going to steal your dream. You know, if it's yours, it's yours. Trust and believe. But we really got to do better with each other. We really, really do. Because nobody can fix us but us. I'm telling you.
Right. But it's a lot of
great organizations. Well, one thing I like about your organization, Joe, is that you have, I don't know if you guys call it chapters, and you have a lot of, you know, your organization have extended throughout the United States. Now, let's say if your organization is not in, let's say, Texas, for example, Houston, Texas, and somebody want to reach out to you to open up a chapter in Houston, Texas, do you guys do that, or what you're...
Matter of fact, we do have a contact person in Houston, Texas.
Oh, you do? Go ahead, Don.
When I went did the Sandra Bland case, and Rodney Evans is doing a wonderful job out there in Houston, Texas. We have a contact person in Dallas. You know, see, I'm on Facebook to be networking, not to be playing games. You know,
right.
That's what social media is supposed to be. So what happens is, what gives me a red flag, if I see a lot of people that's liking my stuff and see what we're doing, I would reach out to them in the inbox and let them know what New Order is. You could either be behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. You could be a whistleblower behind the scenes. If something happened in your area, you have an organization here in Atlanta that you can call upon and explain what's going on. And before we get involved, we have to do our research first. You have to fill out a complaint form, and we go show up at your doorstep. And they're going to wonder where this organization came from. And that's what we do. You know, like I said, we had a chance to speak on the Flint, Michigan water crisis. We traveled up to Flint, Michigan, you know, and addressed that issue. We sent a letter to Governor Snyder about how we feel that this issue needs to be resolved. You know, so we move around. Of course, it takes money to do this. But I just can say that we're making some major moves. And, again, we have not even a lot of people here in the Atlanta headquarters, but they're doing the work. You know, God is so good, you know, and it's volunteer, but God is going to bless us financially in the future because we're here for the people first, not for the fame, not just trying to be seen. We're here to help people out because there's a lot of people are frustrated on organization, and we're not a perfect organization, but we're going to be honest with you. We're not going to lead you on. If we can't help you, we can't help you, you know, and that's why I love our research team, John Drummond, our chief of staff, Key Davis, a part of the research, and Chantel, who all the business calls. We're straight up with these people, letting them know if we can help you or not, because some people will call you with some nonsense, you know what I mean? And we're not going to deal with them, you know. So we want to make sure that our credibility, you know, stays on a high extent. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. We might fall on our back, but I guarantee you we will get back on off our back and get back out here and do the work, you know. So I'm just excited, man, that that there's some people that God has brought into my life. And always, New Orleans ain't always been like this. Because you're going to have your ups and downs. I remember when I first got down here to Atlanta, Cobb County, there was a, I don't want to mention the organization, but there was a famous certain organization sent an infiltrator to one of our meetings. Now, we're talking back in 2003 and 4. And it was a police officer. An organization sent a police officer to certain one of our meetings that we are always speak highly of. I don't understand it, but that's the territory of the game.
I lived in Compton, so I got a good idea, but I'm going to keep it quiet, too, on the hush hush.
That's one thing about it. We might disagree. I might disagree. Again, people's going to disagree with New Order, but I always respect that people that's been out there for a while. Gerald Rose was never publicized and disrespect for the ones that's been there before I have. And that shows we're still divided. We can't do that. Maybe you could disagree behind closed doors or to yourself, but don't go out in public and criticize our leaders that led the way for us. I would never do that.
Yeah, we do that. That's
right.
Horrible. I have seen them
much. Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest with you, Joe, everything that I've seen on social media, which, you know, is always was positive. It was nothing, you know, I've never seen nothing negative on social media that you said or what. You know, it's always something positive. Always. But anyway, with that said, we only got a minute and 40 seconds left before the show is over with. So I'm asking Ms. Jay to close it out.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, Gerald, for coming. It was a pleasure to have you. Thank everybody for joining us today. We appreciate you joining us. This is a great show right before we celebrate Martin Luther King. And one of the things I would like everybody to remember that you said is, are we really living up to that dream? Are we living that dream? I think we're so busy struggling sometimes or just maybe surviving. I don't know our mindsets, but we forget about the ones that came before us. So hopefully we can do that on a regular basis. If you have something positive to say to the audience, Gerald, before we leave, take a couple seconds and just say something positive. I appreciate it.
Watch your surroundings. Black people, I love you all. You know, I love everyone, but especially my black people that come from our community. It's time to start working together, uniting. It ain't I, but it's definitely all of us because we all in this the game together. You know, so right now the country is so divided right now. It's amazing on where we're headed. You know, so if I could just give out a phone number one more time, Jack, that's okay. Again,
well, I'm gonna post it. That way, we won't make no mistakes, and I'll make sure they got everything they need. And I for sure will post it. And John, did you want to say something before we head out this evening?
Yes, I just want to thank Jared for coming on the talk show. And, man, you just keep up the good work. You're doing a lot of great work throughout the United States, and keep it up, man. And God bless you, you know. And with that said, good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night. And thank you for coming, and thank you guys for joining us.